This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast. God. I have this down. Okay. This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk about trash. No.
Nope. Dear Lord.
Dang it.
We did this last week and you did it fine.
I know. It's because I have it up usually, but I don't have any notes this time. Okay. This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast where you talk trash about the things people love to hate, hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
I'd prefer to go by Sister Mary Matthew this week. Thank you.
Sister Mary Matthew, yes. Fabrizio, it's a Sister Mary.
Ah, great. We love an Italian accent.
Bring out the Parmesan.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Get the back of the bed.
Get the bed. Your feet, are they cold? Let me use some fire to warm the toes.
Luigi, get the brand. We got to burn the feet
Mario,
again.
Where's Mario?
This is vastly offensive, I feel like.
More offensive than the movie? Or... Who are we angering today? Is it the Italians or the Catholics?
I think that the people in the movie were actually Italian, so I don't think that they were doing fake accents.
No. I'm not.
You're not Italian.
I'm not doing a fake accent. I'm mastering an authentic Italian accent.
Is that what we're calling it these days?
I think so.
Oh gosh. Dear Lord. We're going to get canceled.
Because
in a couple of years they're going to be pulling these clips and you're going to have to issue a notes app apology to the entire country of Italy.
I must apologize.
Okay, we got to stop.
Okay, no, but I am excited to talk about this. I love Italian culture and Catholicism, both famously important to me. So I'm really glad to be here. Honestly, I wouldn't have guessed we'd be here. I thought we would have been doing Ricky Stenicki for my boy Zach. I thought if push comes to shove, I guess I'll watch another wrestler movie, this time starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah. Roadhouse.
Yeah. But
which is apparently a remake, someone was telling me, of some movie from like the 80s or something. I was like, never heard of her.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. Roadhouse, I was like, this is something. I don't know it, but it's something.
Something.
You know?
So, but instead, we're here talking about Immaculate, the Sydney Sweeney Nun horror movie, which I feel like was buzzy. At least my circle of online people were talking about this movie a lot.
No, for sure. I agree. I saw it too. I think what really sparked my interest though was when you reposted that, I don't know, some sort of Instagram account, and it was like the conservatives were like, oh my gosh, we had our conservative queen, Sydney Sweeney, and the liberals had to take her and make the most anti-Jesus movie ever made. And I was like, oh,
you were like, well, I will be going to the theaters now.
You're like, me, I love horror. I never miss a single horror. Of course.
Yeah, well, because you famously you love a supernatural horror most.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there's a demon or a spirit or a religion involved, I'm there, obviously.
But the nice thing about this was that it was not a demon movie, really.
No, yes, 100%. I did have to like read about it before I agreed to this. But once I read about it, I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. This sounds great. And I asked you, is it more Midsommar or Hereditary? And you said Midsommar, which I agree.
Yes.
But I think the best comp for this, honestly, quality, story, feminism light, is Invisible Man, which came out a few years ago.
Yes, I could see that.
It reminded me a lot of that. a little bit more grotesque.
Yes.
But only a little bit, I guess, because Invisible Man literally slit her sister's throat in front of her. So there was that.
Yeah.
So this was, yeah, I would say that's the comp that I settled on most. Mm-hmm.
No, I feel like that makes sense. This is a horror movie, and it does have some jump scares, and it does have some gory stuff in it. Oh, but I feel like as a whole, it is, I don't know. It's pretty straightforward until it's not. It like works well in certain ways, mm-hmm, but it's not mm-hmm. necessarily like the nastiest or the spookiest or the jumpiest of horror movies. It's pretty straightforward in a lot of that capacity. But wait, can we talk first about how Sydney Sweeney became a Republican icon? because I find this so fascinating. And it basically is just has to do with her boobs.
No, it doesn't. It has to do with her uncle being wearing like a Make America Great Again hat.
Well, yes, that as well. But after Anybody But You did so well at the theaters, there were all of these like pieces in conservative publications that were like, liberals want you to, you know, think that like these crazy things about marriage and relationships, but actually like Sydney Sweeney's big boobs and Glenn Powell are like an American couple. And this is, you know, the future that liberals don't want, but it's doing well at the box office and therefore it's going to be great.
I missed that entire.
Oh, really?
I missed that.
No, because there was this big to do. And that's why, you know, like she was the conservative queen or whatever. Yeah, yes, there's the thing with her. Like, I think she does come from like a semi-conservative background.
Yeah.
But just this like all American sort of like couple quality. And
wait,
also,
but is Anyone But You not like raunchy and?
Yes, but I think it has to do like the thing with Christians and conservatives at this point is like, there's nothing that I feel like actually fits into their schema. So they sort of have to pick things and then like forget about stuff. You know, it's like how J.K. Rowling is now like their hero, but it's like she wasn't a while ago when she was promoting witchcraft. But now it's sort of like, oh, yeah, we've disregarded that whole plot line. And now we're just focused on the fact that she doesn't like trans people.
Of course,
but so like, yes, Anyone But You is raunchy, but it's like a straight couple. And it's sort of like, oh, this is doing well because everybody likes Sydney Sweeney's boobs. And now we can finally say like, yeah, see hot girls with boobs. Like, that's exciting.
I'm just confused about the boobs.
No, there was all these headlines about how Sydney Sweeney's boobs were like conservative.
Conservative.
I'm not joking. You can look it up.
Boobs conservative.
Sydney Sweeney boobs conservative. Yes, there were articles about it.
Oh my gosh. What's with the weird conservative obsession with Sydney Sweeney's boobs?
Yeah. See, exactly.
Very weird.
Because you know how there's been all of the like body positivity stuff in the past years, and it's sort of like, oh, like models are, there's like brands are saying everybody's attractive and you can't say that certain people are more attractive than others. And so I think that also played into this, in that Sydney Sweeney is conventionally hot, and people were like, conservatives were sort of like, yeah, see, there's some people who are hot and there's some people who aren't. And and we've been told that we can't say that anymore, but that's the truth. It's all so convoluted, all of the Republican jargon. Like, also crazy, this really sent me for a tizzy this weekend. Donald Trump has created or is launching a new Bible that has a bunch of the the Bill of Rights and the Constitution or whatever, but then also the Bible is in there, and it's the King James version, and he's like, oh, I love the Bible, it's my favorite book, like everyone should buy this, it's $60 a piece, like
gross,
because he needs money for all of his trials. And it's like, this man has never read the Bible in his life. He does not. He is pretending to be Christian, like barely pretending to be Christian, to like get votes and to get money from people. But if you have spent 2 seconds listening to him or studying the Bible, it's like he has not read it. He did a talk at Liberty University where he's talking about 2 Corinthians, which it's like okay, anybody who's been to church for 5 seconds knows that it's 2 Corinthians. There's another interview where somebody's asking him what his favorite Bible verse is, and he like refuses to give any Bible verses because he says it's personal and he can't talk about it. But it's like, actually, no, he just doesn't know any.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Sure. I can give you a favorite Bible story. Like,
what's your Bible? Literally. What's your favorite Bible verse?
Oh, verse? I couldn't recite a verse from the Bible. You give me a Book of Mormon, I've got 16 memorized. But my favorite Bible story. Favorite Bible story would probably be Ruth. I mean, I don't know why that stuck with me. Probably because it's like one of the few women.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what else is an interesting one? Is I think Bathsheba radicalized me. Honestly, what a pervert. Not Bathsheba, but...
David?
Yeah.
David, who like sees Bathsheba and then calls and then is like, hey, bring her over to my house. And then they sleep together. And then he has her husband murdered.
Yeah, but honestly.
But here's the true of this situation is that David was definitely gay. Because, or at least bi, because there's this whole plot line about how he's like best friends with this guy named Jonathan. And... they are 100% homosexuals. So,
well, that's really cute, but I wish he didn't have to freaking.
So I think the best
ladies
I think,
in the nude
I think,
bathing.
Well, I think the Bathsheba thing was a cover.
Well, it was a really cruel cover because.
Well, no,
really
it definitely
was.
I mean,
straight up sexual.
He was horrible.
It was, you know, that power dynamic. There's no real chance of consent when you're king. Sees you showering, is like, get over here. Gross, honestly.
No, yeah, terrifying.
Maybe? Yeah. So the Bible's full of fun stories. I feel like Trump would actually like a lot of those stories. So maybe he will take this opportunity to read some and, you
maybe
know,
we should
poison.
Rebrand our podcast and we'll just go through the Bible and discuss all of the crazy stories
don't
in there.
Tempt me.
Fun. And then we can go to the Book of Mormon.
Yeah,
afterwards,
no, there are some good ones, okay? There are some good ones in the Book of Mormon. Like, I think you would find it a very entertaining book.
Well, I was explaining to someone or another, why did this story come up? I am trying to think. About how there's this plot line in the Bible about this woman who murders a man with a tent spike. She puts like a tent spike through his head. And why was I explaining this to somebody? There was something in a movie where somebody got killed in a similar fashion.
I think it was Immaculate.
Was it Immaculate?
You know the ending? The nail?
Oh, yeah. That's why I was thinking of this. Of course. Exactly.
It all comes back. We're very prepared.
It all comes back to Immaculate. I forgot that's how he died.
Yeah.
R.I.P. R.I.P. to the monk.
Yeah, no, not a monk. Come on,
father,
get your religious titles straight. Yeah,
priest,
daddy,
daddy priest, cardinal,
it's
bishop,
father, wasn't it?
It's father
Fabrizio,
right? But a father is a priest. Yes,
I don't.
I think father is like the honorific of a priest. I'm fairly certain.
Okay, I see. Okay. Okay, but anyways, you were talking about the Bible story of the tent. The tent.
Yeah, so this woman,
spike.
Yeah, it's like this guy is, he's sort of like on the run and hiding, and he asks to sleep in this tent that this woman has, and she's like, sure, come on in, and then she realizes he's the bad guy, and while he's sleeping, she takes the tent spike and drives it through his skull to kill him.
That's pretty cool. You know, honestly, I think there's room for maybe a feminist retelling of the Bible in an HBO limited series. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's enough feminine
you don't
rage
want the chosen
in the text. No. I want the anti-chosen, you know? I need the anti-savior of Christian media. And I think there'd be some really powerful, you know, opportunities for Scarlett Johansson to come in and, you know, play Delilah, whatever it is. But I think there's some real feminine rage hidden in the text.
Yeah, the problem is that there's only probably about 15
there's
girl
only,
characters
yeah,
in the Bible.
Yeah.
And most of them are sort of like quote unquote bad, yes. Which is probably why you were like, oh, the one I remember who's good is Ruth, because truly it's just like I know. Esther and Mother Mary.
Ruth though, she's sneaking into her, what is it, her
kinsman redeemer,
her brother-in-law's bed, being like, hey.
Well, not bed, the threshing floor.
The floor. The foot of his bed.
Yeah,
where she kneels before his bed.
Well, they're all like sleeping together in the barn. Yeah. No, while they're harvesting the wheat.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey.
She knew what she had to work with, you know? Like, that's women's history right there, you know?
Right, because like, her husband was dead, and she's like, yeah, well, she closest had nothing relative. Else
going for her, yeah.
Better go get it.
Honestly, good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That should be Sydney Sweeney's next role, because I think it could, played the right way, you know, get Margot Robbie involved. It would confuse conservatives and excite liberals, and I think it'd be an interesting conversation starter.
Yeah. Well, liberals did not like this movie, despite the fact that Sydney Sweeney had a brief moment in the sun of a couple months.
Conservatives.
Yes, conservatives.
I was like, oh no, what happened?
No, yes, conservatives. No.
Conservatives. Yeah.
I mean, which is crazy that conservatives ever latched onto Sydney Sweeney, because she came up on Euphoria, which I feel like God is works such, in mysterious ways. Such an anti conservative show. And then obviously she has been on The White Lotus, where she talks about grandpa being a power bottom. And.
Well, we're just distracted because she has big boobs.
Yes, she's always got her boobs out. But yeah, she's the star of Immaculate, which is a neon indie horror film. And it's sort of interesting how this came about, because Sydney Sweeney auditioned for this movie back in 2014, I believe, when she was just, you know, like a little, you know, a random actress. She liked the script, but the project never moved forward. And so after Euphoria became a hit and she became a star, she was like, hey, remember that script that I really liked? I'm going to go and buy the rights to that and see if I can get it made myself. So she has really wanted to do this movie for a while, which I think is a really interesting plot point when we get into what the movie's actually about. And also, she was a producer on it. She is sort of a big reason why this got made. And this is Neon's biggest opening ever for a movie. So
okay,
she's really, you know, girl bossing.
Like, yeah, I've been on the fence about Sydney Sweeney. Like, indifferent, I guess. I really liked her in White Lotus. I thought she was not good in what came out before Madam Web. I don't
Anyone
know.
But
it,
you?
It's been
the Voyeurs.
Oh, yeah, it's been touch and go. Loved reality.
I keep forgetting that she's in Madam Web, but a classic.
She's in Madam Web. Yeah.
I love Madam Web. A great movie.
American classic. Yeah. So I've been like, I don't know if she's good. I don't know if she's interesting. She just feels like kind of this, you know, pretty girl who stumbled into stardom. But I do like that story. I like the idea that this is what she decided would be her passion project. It honestly makes me like her more. I feel like having seen this movie, I maybe related it to it in an unexpected way. Obviously not literal, but I think there was a real, feminine rage and the cost of conservatism and religion and what that asks of women so often. So I really do find myself curious now about Sydney Sweeney as a person, that this is her passion project.
I mean, I have liked Sydney Sweeney since Euphoria.
Yeah, famously.
I love her in that. I think that Sydney Sweeney, to me, has a similar energy in a lot of ways to Kristen Stewart. In that... I do not think that she is an actress who can do anything. I think that she has very specific things that she can do. And within a certain range, she can do a lot and do it all really well. But sort of if you ask her to move outside of that, it's tricky. Like, I don't think that she's very good sort of at just being like a normal person in a scene. Like some of the scenes early on in this movie where she's supposedly just like making small talk with the priest are a little bit rough. And I think in something like Anyone But You, she doesn't really get a chance to show off what she can do because she is having to just be in like normal scenes. I think she's a much better character actress. And so when she gets to do something like Euphoria, where she's a more like heightened version, or the same with White Lotus, I think that she shines a lot more. And in the back half of this movie, where she's got more to do and is in more extreme positions, she really nails everything that she needs to. So
yeah, I think that analysis.
I think it's just going to be a question of sort of like, can she figure out where to use, like, where to put herself? And I think that people are going to incorrectly put her in things probably for the next 5-10 years or so, because they want her to sort of be a leading lady. And I don't necessarily know if that is her strong
like
her suit
beauty,
completely.
It's like she's weirder than her beauty lets on. And everyone's getting distracted by boobs and blonde hair. But
I think
it's
she's like
actually
like,
she's.
I think she's also like Brad Pitt, similarly, who I think also is like like, I think Brad Pitt's best when he's sort of like a weird person, but because he's attractive, they're like, oh, let's put him in rom-coms and stuff. And it's like, I don't think that Sydney Sweeney is like a Julia Roberts, whose skills are sort of like being an infectious everybody and is best in those kind of roles.
No. Like Ruth, she needs
like
to know
Ruth.
How to play to her strengths.
Like Esther,
she will go to the Hollywood gods.
She will get what's his face hung by the end of the week.
No, I do. I like that she was involved in this. And that too reminds me of Invisible Man, because Invisible Man was just going to be sort of your bread and butter kind of like horror jump scare fest. And then Miss Scientology was like, actually, let's add some thought to this character. Let's bring in the way women are perceived as crazy and unbelievable and unreliable narrators to their own lives. And then I think that ultimately takes a mediocre product and elevates it in a way that makes it, you know, more interesting and more thought-provoking than maybe surface level you would have found it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this movie, you know, this movie is literally, basically, Jurassic Park for Catholics. And that premise alone is provocative. But then it also takes on this sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but like a surprisingly feminist edge, like a little, ooh, a little flavor, a little zhuzhing up of an otherwise sort of surrealist plot idea, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess let's describe what the movie's about.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So Sydney Sweeney is a nun, and she's American. She decides that she is going to go to a nunnery in Italy that is for like taking care of sort of infirmed people or like sick.
It's where the nuns go to die.
So like, she's working as like at like hospice nunnery with all of these like sort of like loony kind of nuns who are on their way out. And she gets there. Obviously, creepy things start to happen. She then gets pregnant. And she's like, wait, I've never slept with anybody. And they're like, oh my gosh, you are the second coming of Mary. You are carrying baby Jesus. And she's like, no. And like, they're like, yes. And so then they, you know, kind of lock her in this nunnery as she gets increasingly pregnant with the baby Jesus 2.0. And you learn as the plot goes on that actually the father priest figure
father
yes, is doing a Jurassic Park, in that they have got some sort of DNA off of an old relic, and they have been trying to create a second coming of Jesus and implant him in a sequence of nuns that they've brought over and have locked up in this nunnery, and that Sydney Sweeney is the latest in a string of these, and she's like, actually, hell no, will I be doing this, and decides that she's going to try to escape and revolt against the evil nuns and priests who are keeping her hostage and forcing her to give birth to Jesus too.
Yes, yes, I love it. I mean, they have this like nail from the cross that they are obsessed with and worship, and I don't know. I don't know what it is, Matt. I think it's like, I was keyed in from the get-go. I was like, okay, there's something familiar about this. Not, obviously not to the extremes, right? But like the twisting of faith to become obsessed with this item, this thing, instead of the overall picture of it. It's like, it's giving me Martin Luther and the 95 Thesis, you know, it's giving me, it's like, taking
well, another famous religious, like nail.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, okay, we've lost the plot. Like, this is what religion does, is you become hyperfixated on a singular thing and it corrupts you. Okay. And then on top of it, you have these like, school of nuns, and so you have Sydney Sweeney, who's sort of this like I refuse to learn Italian, but I'm at this Italian nunnery, good for me. And then you have the like mother sister the sister nun who's
mother
like,
superior
well mother superior whatever oh. She's the old lady, but the young nuns, you know, you have the one who's like really religious and like very much like don't have a sense of humor, this is very serious work, like we are important and you need to obey.
Oh, the
and
one
then
who
you
kills
have this,
herself.
Like, edgy, you have this edgy nun who's
yes,
like
the smoker.
What I'm just here because men are trash and like what's better than hanging out with women all day. And she's immediately keyed in to how these men are controlling a situation where they're literally not meant to have a place. And so Sydney's there, this like doe-eyed little ingenue who's like, oh, who do I believe, what's happening? And I found it so interesting. Like, yes, the plot falls apart under, you know, careful inspection. I don't know why the nuns are wearing masks sometimes. I don't know why one nun at the beginning is like buried alive of all the ways to kill someone, and one is her tongue's cut off, but then she's also just like killed anyways. Like I had questions, but overall I appreciated the energy, the POV being brought to the screen.
Yeah, I felt like as I was watching it in the beginning, most of the movie is sort of unremarkable in a lot of ways. Like, it's not that scary. It's not that innovative. We've sort of seen horror nun movies before. I was just going along with it, kind of like, do, 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 do. Like, it was interesting. And it's only 90 minutes, so it's a pretty quick watch. But then the last, like, 20 minutes of the movie, I think, really are where things...
The third trimester.
Yeah, the third trimester, which they do mark that on the screen. They're
they
like,
give you title cards.
Well, except for the annoying thing is like they can't give you the first trimester title card because obviously it's a surprise, or they want that twist. So then they only start in the title cards with second trimester and third. And I'm like, okay, that you should have just left them off. Like
sir,
it's,
we can tell she's growing.
Yeah, it's annoying that they're only there for the second and third and not for the first. Yeah. Like my OCD was
I agreed. I clocked it too. I was like, okay, lazy storytelling.
But I think the thing that is most interesting and that I found fascinating is, okay, so she is carrying this like mutant version of Jesus that they have forced her to carry. And she is, you know, trying to escape. She goes through various sneaky methods. Eventually, it's kind of like a no holds barred battle between her and the priest as they, you know, struggle to get out, and she eventually kills him. But then you get to the final scene of the movie, which is absolutely incredible. And it's mm-hmm. just like one long take where she gives birth to the baby and, you know, disconnects herself with by ripping the umbilical cord with her teeth. And then you see this moment of realization where she's trying to figure out what she's going to do with this child that she's just given birth to, which was of not her choosing and not her doing, and which could potentially be the Antichrist. And she...
And that's not being baby-esque. It's like growling and kind of like...
Yes.
You know?
And so she goes over and picks up this giant rock. And the last moment of the movie is her, you know, bringing down this rock to crush this baby that she's just birthed. Which is such a potent illustration about abortion and abortion rights and, you know... the right to choose and ownership of your own body and just all of that. I feel like so succinctly and so effortlessly in some ways, it's just like such a well done metaphor, and her acting is so good. And the fact that it's this long single shot, it just like the whole thing works so well. And so even though the rest of the movie, I kind of felt like, was like, hey, yeah, sure, whatever. The ending was so strong and really made me like the rest of the movie more. And because it was only 90 minutes too, it's like the fact that the last 20 minutes are really good means like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll like forgive some awkwardness in the early on.
No, I agree. I think it was like, it became interesting to me as someone who, you know, I left a high demand religion. I had to extricate myself from something that felt a little cult adjacent. And that deprogramming and sort of like separation of realizing how deep you were in something. It's interesting then to watch something like this where there's a literal entrapment, right? And she goes there on her own free will. She's like, oh yeah, I was chosen like by God for some path. Like, you know, I had to have been because I died as a 12-year-old for 12 minutes and then I was brought back to life. And so like ever since then, blah-de, blah-de, blah. And then you watch her realize like, I thought the most compelling like turn was in the third trimester. She's forced to do like her confession. And she's like yelling, she's talking to the priest.
We really need to do like a vocab.
She's talking to her bishop and, you know, she says, brother, I have sinned. No, but she is talking to him and she's like, you know, this isn't good. Like, this can't be right. And he's like, well, if it was wrong, God would stop us. And that's like where her sort of like trauma turns into action, where her eyes, and Sydney Sweeney does a great job in this, where her eyes like zero in on the fact of like, okay, well, if you're just waiting for a sign, I'll be the motherfucking sign, you know? And that's when she like decides to murder the mother nun. And then she murders him. And then she kills the doctor. And then the head priest who'd impregnated her is chasing her around being like, you think this will stop me? Like, I'll just keep on doing the work until this comes. And all of this while she's in active labor, which I honestly loved the detail work. I was like, Sydney Sweeney, you're not phoning it in. She's like waddling around. She's trying to like figure out how to walk comfortably with this giant baby. I don't know. I was locked in for those last 30 minutes. And then they're like, you know, she's trying to do the right thing of just getting out to the light. Okay. The metaphor is here. The religious.
Wow.
I don't know why I like
finding
so
the
much.
Light. Shelby's like, no one's ever done this before. No one's like, ever put a light like, metaphor.
The physical.
It's like she's going through a tunnel and there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There's a light at the end. And she
wild.
She has a single light.
And when Sydney Sweeney came up with that, it's like
Sydney Sweeney is such a genius. Like honestly, the level she's working at on is shocking. Okay. Like,
and not to mention she has the boobs the entire time.
And she has the boobs, but no one like remembers because we're focused on her freaking waddle. Yes. You know, like that's That's talent. Okay. But anyways, when she stabs him in the throat with the nail.
The Jesus nail.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And the blood, she hits a vein. It's just like spouting across her. It's just like they're both being bathed in this. And then she goes out and she has to deliver this baby. I was honestly. Well,
and she's already endured like half of a C-section.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, gross. Because he like cut the baby out of her.
Yeah, he's trying to cut the baby out of her. Because he doesn't care about her. He just cares about the baby.
She's just a vessel. She's just a vessel. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're meek and humble and like. Oh, you know, we're to obey, we're to give. And I think that is so, that was just so mesmerizing. And then to have it all end up being for this like creature thing, this thing that couldn't even possibly be what they wanted it to because they weren't thinking clearly. And then her to smash it. I was like, yes, queen. Like, honestly.
This like, feels like a very cathartic experience for you.
It was. It honestly was. I have therapy in an hour. I'm going to talk about it. Like, I really will. I don't want to pretend that this is the greatest movie ever made because I recognize, like, you know, it got mediocre reviews, blah, 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 whatever. But I do think it's interesting in a way I wasn't really expecting. Because, like, I read the spoilers before I went in because, you know, I hate horror. So I like knew what was going on and I was like, oh, that's a funny idea. Like, yeah, let's, you know, balls to the walls. Let's do it. But I was surprised by how much I actually like engaged with it on a personal level.
Well,
which makes me sound unhinged.
No, I feel like I relate to Sydney Sweeney in that we are just constantly underestimated because of how pretty we are.
Yeah, and exactly. That's
and
the main takeaway.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, no, the girl like has a head on her shoulders. Like she is talented and she is smart. And I love that she has been thinking about this project for a decade and
She's
that
like,
she got it made by herself, basically.
Yeah.
But no, I
do think of her family watching this. I love to think of what.
Well, she took
Sweeney
her dad
to
the funeral.
This.
Or yeah. to the funeral, my gosh, to the premiere.
End of her career.
I watched the whole video, that whole sequence. And also the outfit that she wore to the premiere, this like sort of like marble chest piece thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just incredible. Gorgeous.
No, she's honestly, it made me respect her more. It made me think maybe Sydney and I have some things in common coming from a conservative background and realizing like maybe that's not doing what it was promising to do. And like I totally recognize that I am bringing something to this piece that they didn't intend. Like I'm not going to pretend that they mastered this level of sort of symbolism or allegory or whatever you will. But I do feel like there was something really cathartic about seeing what religion demands of women and having the women be like, no, thank you. And yes, I saw the like pro-choice elements of it. And I think that was definitely, you know, validating and important, but also at the heart of it, it was like, this religion doesn't care about women. Like religion doesn't care about women except for what it brings to men. And I think that having that play out in such a splashy, like outrageous way was something I didn't necessarily expect to see because you either get it like really in your face drama tragedy or you just get something where it's like these religious people, what freaks, you know? Whereas there was something here that was interesting to have her have to kind of like actively decide that she wasn't, that she was going to abandon her faith or her belief system as it was, and instead just be like, this isn't serving me anymore, you crazy losers. Well, I will kill and I will be blessed for it. And I respect that.
It also, I think, did a good job of portraying how within religious communities like this that the women are sort of pitted against each other to keep each other down, where it's like the nuns are fighting to be the person who is getting the favor and gets to carry this baby. The older nuns are like actively working to keep the younger ones in line. Like they are doing a lot of the dirty work for the men who are on top so that the men don't really even have to do that much at certain points. And I think that's really true in a lot of, you know, Christian and conservative circles with women, but just among sort of minority groups in general.
Yeah, for sure. It was like, there's, you know, there's all these like creepy nuns who are doing different things throughout the movie, whether it's like saying, bless you, we love you, or whether it's the edgy one being like, this can't be right. I know when a man is lying to me. And it's like, yes, like for everyone who's trying to speak up, it's like just violence. They're met with violence or judgment or whatever. And then, yeah, sort of the self-loathing that sends the other nun spiraling to her own, you know, death by suicide. It's like, I don't know. It was just interesting to see religion played out in that way, because while I admit I haven't seen any of the like other sort of demon-y horror Catholic stuff, I do feel like I also haven't seen much of like, I don't know, kind of female empowerment through and beyond religion. And I just felt like it was an interestingly entertaining and sort of validating film. And I like that it ruffled all the feathers of people who I think are missing the point entirely. Like, you know, we're just continuing to dig our heels in on like, this isn't what Christianity is. Like, you're making an anti-Christ propaganda film, turning people away from Jesus. And it's like, well, is this what you want your Jesus to be asking of people? Like, first of all, it should be so surreal to you that this isn't even similar to your Catholicism or whatnot. So it's like, why do you care? But second of all, I feel like people go into this and you can't help but sympathize with Sydney Sweeney and her choice to kill this like demon baby, because of course you would. Like, what are you going to do? Let it suck your tit? Like, I don't think so. You're not going to raise this baby that you've been impregnated with against your will from the who knows what DNA has been touched and passed around on that nail for the last 3,000 years. Like, no, thank you. So I felt like it had an interesting discourse, and I would love to talk about it more at length, but I'll just pay my therapist to do that.
I love the idea of Sydney Sweeney, like, obviously knowing that this movie is coming out and seeing all of these articles that are like, yeah, we love Sydney Sweeney, like, conservative icon, and her being like, just you wait. Like, in 2 weeks, I have a pro-abortion, anti-religion movie coming out that will not make you happy.
Well, and I think she recognized that, because when you were saying that everyone was like, her boobs are her conservative, I was like reading an interview she did, and she's like, yeah, I don't know why people are fascinated with my body. And I think that's part of the appeal for this movie too, is that people only care about her body in the film, right? Like, what it can carry, what it means to them, that they forget about the person too. So I think it is sort of, there must be a physicality to separating yourself again and again through more and more violent and like desexualized characters as she kind of navigates this hyper awareness of her sexuality, her boobs and her body, you know.
Sydney Sweeney, an icon.
Sydney Sweeney, yeah.
I love her.
What she does next.
I know. Excited. Now I'm like, now I need to go back and watch Reality, because I am like,
it's nothing like this, I'll tell you.
I know, but I'm like, I feel like I need to just pay homage to the greatness
She's good in that. It's a good performance, because she is kind of a quirky character. And so there's a lot of the subtlety instead of this sort of like open-eyed, doe-eyed wonder that she tries to lean in on some of these earlier parts in this movie.
I forgot that she was in Once Upon a Time at Hollywood.
Yeah, and Handmaid's Tale. She's like a little girl in Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
very
interesting.
Very sad plot line.
She's also in an episode of Criminal Minds. We'll have to go find.
Oh, okay. That. My birthday episode's coming up. It'll be Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, she's in an episode of The Middle, too. She's been around and done stuff. Oh, and she's in Sharp Objects?
Yeah.
She's in seven episodes of Is she one of the friends?
Yeah, she's one of the friends.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure.
Wild. Yeah, and then Euphoria, White Lotus.
Yeah. Ah,
Sydney. My girl.
Sydney, honestly. So yeah, sorry to any practicing Catholics. I I'm sure that religion serves people in some ways, but this film served my battered heart well. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like religion is like not anything else, but it's like there's good uses for things and bad uses for things, and with any power structure that is very easily co-opted by terrible people.
Yeah.
And yeah. And a lot of organized religion has had thousands of years to really fine tune exactly how they're going to manipulate and use people to get what they want. And to work against women, which
And you know what? If any women out there find themselves virgin and pregnant, just assume some dude's behind it, because it's not,
a demon.
You're not being blessed, okay? You're being assaulted. And I just think that the loud nun should have spoken up sooner, because if someone tried to tell me that I was immaculately impregnated, I would be like, no, someone did something gross to me, okay? And I'm leaving. But
you would think, I've been Jurassic Parked.
Wait a second. I've been like, is there some DNA around here?
Is there something in Amber hidden?
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I'm glad that we got to do a horror movie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't know what we're doing next week. It's the Beyonce album comes out. I guess we could do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a movie coming out.
Civil Godzilla? War?
No. What is it? No.
I think it's Godzilla, I think, is the movie that's coming out this weekend,
yeah,
which
we'll
is like,
I don't really want to
watch that. But okay, well, everybody, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week to talk about something or another. Shelby might still be in therapy at that point, so we might have to postpone, but as long as she's out and has started processing, we'll be back.
Ciao
ciao, Bella. Bye.